shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Rock climbing. It sounds scary to me, but that's what we'll be talking about. Happy Friday evening to you. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And this is Shasta Outdoors, brought to you tonight by Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture. As an outreach of It Does My Soul Well, Shasta Outdoors endeavors to bring to you every Friday evening guest news and information about the great outdoors in Northern California. It's all about outdoor recreation, getting out in God's beautiful creation. I don't know about you, but it does my soul well every time I do.
And don't we live in a beautiful area? There are so many wonderful opportunities to get out there and enjoy hiking, camping, mountain biking, kayaking, golfing, snow skiing, water skiing, boating, fishing, horseback riding, motorcycle riding, hunting, and I mean, the list of things just goes on, of things that we get to enjoy outside.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, rock climbing too. Tonight we have an amazing guest that I'm excited to talk with.
That's right. We have Marcus Devoisen, who is an expert rock climber. It's something he's been doing for years and has taught others to the joy of hanging from a cliff. The joy of hanging from a cliff.
Yes, Marcus was actually on the program last week, Jennifer, when we had Nick Kalin here from Stones and Streams, and that was a fun program. And we learned last week that Marcus has some expertise in the area of rock climbing. So I said, hey, come back next week. We want to talk with you. So, Jennifer, absolutely, what have you been out doing?
Well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, say it. It's raining today.
It is.
So I actually did get to, well, I didn't dress right for the weather, but I ended up spending time outside anyways.
Nice.
Anyways, but earlier in the week, I've been continue to take my little puppy on walks every single night, and he just loves them. And today he's out running around in this rain. Right before
nice.
I came here, I went ahead and I let him join the Soaking Wet Dog Club, and he got to enjoy some of this, running around, and he's trying to eat the rain.
Awesome. Yeah. Did you actually name him Ruger?
Well, that's what his collar says, but
okay.
I just call him my little puppy.
I like the name Ruger, though.
Me too. It makes him sound manly when he gets older.
Oh, yeah, very, very kind of
it's gonna be a thorn-ish
Western,
exactly.
You know, cowboy kind of name, and so I like that. Well, last Saturday, Fanny and I went up to Castle Lake and we launched our kayaks. And so if you remember, Nick Kalin was taking a group up to Heart Lake, which sets at the same parking lot. And we actually ran in to some of the people that were part of his hiking group, but
no way.
Yeah.
That's so
they
cool.
were just entering back into the parking lot and I said, "Where's Nick Kalin?" And they told me that he was still up on the trail, that he was guiding, and so there were some people that weren't quite as quick as the rest of them, and so he was just doing his job there.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And then Fanny and I also a couple days ago we went on the Bailey Cove Trail Loop. Now, Bailey Cove is out there on Lake Shasta, just north of Bridge Bay. Have you ever been out there?
Yes, yes. Actually, I have.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. Very nice hike. One thing you'll learn about me is I love loop trails, you know.
Right.
where you just loop all the way around and
exactly.
come back to the place that you started. I like that better than the out and back trails.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if you have a destination like Whiskeytown Falls or Boulder Creek Falls or a nice view, Chamise Peak is one of them, it's worth it to go up and back. But if you don't have any of that kind of thing, I prefer to hike a loop, you know, so that's a little bit more fun. I was going to go on a hike this morning in the Whiskeytown Lake area, and as I started driving out there, it was sprinkling, and then it started raining more, and it got harder and harder, and I thought, okay, good excuse not to go. Can you believe this rain? Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
You almost were able to join the Wet Dog Club.
I know. I had Calamity Jane with me, and so and I'm sure she would have just loved it. She loves mud and puddles and all of those things, but I just wasn't into it, and I hadn't been feeling real well the past few weeks, and so I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to chance it, and so I just came on home. You know, yeah.
Not worth the risk, huh?
No. Hey, our producer tonight is Liam Bryant. Liam, how are you doing?
Hi, Liam.
I'm good. How are you?
All right. So you've been out and about doing anything, or are you still just sticking to work and indoors?
I'm heading to Mount Shasta tomorrow to go hit some trail.
Oh, okay.
They're finally rehydrated. Who wants to mountain bike when the trails are dry?
Oh, it's the best time to go. I love to go hiking. I do a little bit of mountain biking, but just to go hiking after it rains, because as you said, those trails are nice and packed and there's not as much dust. And so it can be a lot of fun to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so specifically, is there a specific trail you're going on?
I'm going to hit them all. No, I'm just going to go out.
Every one of them.
That's Liam a huge area, super. Liam.
No, I'm going to do what I feel like. I don't know.
Right.
I believe in you, Liam. I think if you want to do them all, do them all.
Yeah. Now, we might be getting a little bit of rain tomorrow, at least tomorrow morning.
True.
It's supposed to clear off, I believe. In the afternoon, and maybe a little bit later, Liam will get a full weather report from you.
Yes.
You know, if we can remember this time. Jennifer, you'll have to remind me.
I will. I'll try.
We almost forgot. But he was very accurate last week.
Yeah.
I will have to say that. Well, I'm putting him near the top of some of the best weathermen in the area.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
So he kind of reminded me of something. Since he's headed towards Mount Shasta, I don't actually think that the Intermountain Fair is anywhere near Mount Shasta.
No.
But the Intermountain Fair is this weekend.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact,
I don't know why I put the two together. Maybe I just thought about Liam over this going on all of the trails and doing all the things, and I think I should do all the things, which includes maybe I should go to the Intermountain Fair. That sounds kind of fun.
Fanny and I have been talking about going up there to that.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about maybe we'd go up to the Intermountain Fair for a few hours and then on the way back stop at Lake Britton and do some bass fishing.
I love that place.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I spent a lot of time there. That's one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely. It's a beautiful lake. And we can do boating and there's fishing and beautiful little areas to swim. It's really nice.
Yeah, I like it because it's not a real busy place.
Exactly.
You know? As long as you don't go to Burney Falls.
Oh, right. Like, don't even drive that way.
I read an article this week. It was kind of a complaint about Burney Falls, about how many people go to Burney Falls. It's on the map for lots of people. It's a popular place to go. And I lived in Burney for 5 years. And I do know at times when I was trying to go on Highway 89, past the entrance to Burney Falls, and the traffic would be backed up a mile for people trying to get in.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, the locals don't go to the park entrance. They actually take a different road.
I took that road.
Yes, South Clark Creek Road.
That's
now
the word is
getting out. And it's a short little trail to the falls, and it's, you know, it's well worth it. It's really cool because you cross the Pacific Crest Trail, and there's a mile marker there that says, I don't know, it's another 1,400 miles to the Canadian border and 1,200 miles to the Mexican border. You're almost in the halfway point.
Right in the middle.
Between the two. And so, so that's kind of fun. Hey, Jennifer, if people want to know more about us, how can they do that?
They should visit our website at itdoesmysoulwell.com. Here you'll find recordings of this program as well as videos of local outdoor adventures. And of course, you can also find us on Facebook. But wait, do you have a question? Please give us a call. A great phone number is 530-605-4567. Somebody call me. Nobody seems to want to call me. I think because we had that phone unplugged for a while, but we have it figured out now. So those calls should come right on through.
Give us that number one more time.
530-605-4567.
All right. Hey, we want to thank one of our sponsors, Professional Exterminators. If you've been dealing with unwanted ants, roaches, or other pests around your home, hey, Professional Exterminators are the ones to call. They'll give you a zero obligation free estimate. They're our friends, Dave and Madonna Silva. Great people.
They're wonderful. We love them.
Yeah. So if something's bugging you, give them a call, 530-338-2822. Professional Exterminators, 530-338-2822. 2822. Well, Jennifer, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Marcus DeVoisen. It's all about rock climbing. Ah, it's going to be fun.
Sounds good.
She crawled in a dope control. She was tired. Does her mind was a dragon. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. Just like a picture, she was laying there. Moonlight dancing off her head.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Girl, it's hard to listen to my heart say.
All right, welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Hey, tonight we have one of the guests that we had last week, but that's because this week we wanted to focus on his area of expertise, and that's rock climbing. He's been an instructor for rock climbing. He's been on climbing adventures all over this state, around the nation, and has traveled the world fulfilling this passion. Marcus DeVoisen, welcome to Shasta Outdoors. Or I should say, welcome back
welcome
to Shasta
back.
Outdoors.
Hey, guys. Good to be here. Good to see you.
You're so cool, and I cannot wait to hear more.
Yeah, and before we get into some questions, give our listeners that phone number again if they want to call in and ask Marcus a question.
It's 530-605 4567. I know you're going to want to ask Marcus questions. He's going to tell us a
Bring
lot.
Bring on.
All right. So, Marcus, first of all, we always like to get to know you a little bit. We did last week, but let's remind our listeners just who you are and tell us a little bit about yourself.
We want to hear all about you. I didn't stalk your Facebook. I have nothing to go off of this time.
Yeah. So, Marcus, I grew up in Redding. Went to college in San Francisco, worked down there for a number of years, and then moved back here about 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
I have climbed all over the world. I coached a youth climbing team at Shasta Rock Club for 3 years, and I lead their outdoor trips.
Ooh, cool.
I've also guided for Sacramento State, and just in general, I've been guiding for about 8 years.
Nice.
Yeah, addicted to climbing.
Addicted to climbing.
Very cool.
So how did you get into rock climbing?
I started indoors like most people do nowadays. There's a surge of indoor climbing gyms around the country, around the world.
Right.
I would say with that and Free Solo, the Dawn Wall, and climbing being in the Olympics for the first time in 2020 is really what.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. That's so cool.
That was the first Olympics that climbing was.
How did we do in the climbing category?
You know, I should know that, but I don't.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to that? Are you going to make it to climbing Olympics, Marcus?
No, there's younger and much more talented people that are in the climbing.
I found it really interesting that when I was doing some preparation for this program, and I always like to watch like YouTube videos on rock climbing. Majority of those YouTube videos are people in other countries, you know, so this is a worldwide sport. It looks like it's very big in Europe. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the roots of it, really. And then the roots in the United States is in Southern California.
Okay.
It was in the L.A. area. Taquites Rock was the real first climbing area in the country, and that kind of moved to Yosemite. And Yosemite now is a mecca, and we're really lucky to live about a five-and-a-half-hour drive. So we can go there on the weekend and go to one of the best climbing destinations in the world. If you haven't been there, go there.
No. I have been there a few times, not to do rock climbing, to watch a few do some rock climbing. And an absolutely beautiful place. I mean, you get into the Yosemite Valley and just look up and see these granite cliffs and waterfalls, and it's an absolutely gorgeous area. And if someone has not been there, I highly recommend that you go there, because every picture, every video I've ever seen of it doesn't do it justice. When you get there and you just feel so incredibly small compared to what is surrounding you there.
Yeah, it's hard to describe how big the walls are. I mean, so El Cap is 3,000 feet, so it's three Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other. But you really can't understand that until you stand right underneath it. It's just this experience. But it does get really busy there. So, you know, you have to pick and choose. October is a great time to go. The summer rush is over and the weather's still good.
Sure.
And then right above Yosemite, it's a little lesser known, but still a lot of granite features, granite walls, is Tuolumne Meadows.
Okay.
Way less crowded, and the road to get to Tuolumne Meadows closes in the winter, but I would say at least until end of September, we're good. So, check out Tuolumne Meadows.
So you've done some rock climbing around there then?
I have,
And the El Capitan, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
And have you climbed that?
I've climbed about 600 feet of El Cap.
Okay.
So that's climbing a route called the Nose, is a future goal of mine that I'd love to climb one day. But I've climbed other features. I've climbed walls that are over 2,000 feet. I've slept on the wall.
Overnight. You're one of those. I see that in magazines where they have like the little thing propped up against the side.
Portal edge.
Yeah, you know what, that scares me, just the thought of that, of being up there hanging in like a hammock, right? And I'm thinking, you know, I get up almost every night to use the bathroom.
Oh, right. Full 2,000 feet to my death. I would.
I'm assuming that you have some sort of safety rope on yourself just in case that hammock rolls or something along that line.
Yeah, most people sleep in their harnesses.
Yeah.
It's all exposure therapy. So, you start indoors. And you climb 5 feet, 10 feet, and then you truss the rope, you lean back on your gear, you fall on your gear, you truss the devices.
Right.
Wow. And it's just, you know, step by step. So.
Right. Yeah. So
you could get used to it. You could overcome your fear.
Yeah, you're looking at me like I want to get to that place that I could. What I do know for sure, as with a number of different outdoor recreation things, but this is, to me, one of those more extreme sports, if you take it to that level, and we'll talk a little bit maybe about the various levels of difficulty, but it's got to be an incredible thrill and sense of excitement when you accomplish that goal.
Definitely.
How many nights have you stayed on the side
of
it?
Two
nights. Do you sleep well on the side of a cliff?
You sleep okay. I've done it about 4 times now, and so now I'm a little bit more used to it. But I realized in the multi-day climbing trips, I don't really like. Yeah, I like to climb everything in one big day, even if that's an 18-hour day, a really long day, and then be done and be on the ground. I think there's just a sense of like, okay, I'm done now, and I'm ready to go down.
Yeah. That makes sense.
For me, it would be kind of difficult for my wife to bring me some coffee first thing in the morning, though.
Yeah, I see poor Fanny over there with a helicopter trying to get your coffee to you.
So there's a funny story. Warren Harding was one of the first people to climb El Cap, and he had his mother attach a turkey. And then they were in, you know, days and days and days and weeks on the wall. And so they roped up a turkey and brought it up the wall and ate it.
Oh, nice.
All right. That's nice. Cool. That's a good idea.
So we're talking about Yosemite, and we're going to talk about maybe some other areas around the country and around the world. But what about right here in the North State area?
Yeah.
What are some of the better places to go?
Yeah. So you've got Castle Craigs, which actually there's some great routes already developed, but there is so much potential for route development there. Castle Craigs is essentially a mini Yosemite Valley.
Right.
There's just so much granite walls there and first ascents ready, ripe for the picking. So,
right. Yeah.
You keep saying granite walls. Is that like ideal because it's stable and it holds your devices in place?
I personally like to climb on granite. But there's limestone, there's basalt, there's all types of rock. So Mount Lassen isn't going to be granite. That's going to be more lava rock.
Right.
But still really enjoyable.
Does it feel different?
Does feel climate? Different, yeah.
Okay. Like to hold on to? And
Some of it's sharper and some of it's a different technique of climbing. So a lot of granite climbing is what's called crack climbing. So that picture in that climbing book, you can shove your feet and your hands in the crack and kind of use those as holds.
Right. So you mentioned Castle Craig. Is that like one of your favorite places then here in the North State? I'm talking about like within an hour, hour and a half of Redding.
Yeah, there's also a place called Lover's Leap near Mount Shasta, not to be confused with Lover's Leap in Tahoe area. Mm-hmm. And there's Mount Lassen. And then there's Cantera Loop, also in Mount Shasta area, and then Trinity Alps. There's a little bit more adventure in climbing in Trinity Alps because there's no guidebook. There's books and descriptions and pictures of where the route is and what the climbing will look like. And then Trinity Alps is a little bit it's hard to find that information.
Right. Now, could that be because maybe you're going to have to do a little bit more of a hike to get into those locations, or are they?
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's definitely part of it. I think another part is that there's this, at least my interpretation, the sense of Trinity Alps of keeping it on the down low.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. People like to, I'm sort of like that. I like my favorite spots.
Yeah, so keep your favorite places population free.
Yes, although I seem to be fairly open here a lot of times.
Yeah.
Say, oh, I went here, and I do videos of them, and then I'm thinking, I really like that spot and never saw anybody.
Sure.
I like the seclusion from time to time.
Think about all those little tents hanging off the side of one mountain, you know?
I agree with that, but the only problem, as long as we're welcoming to anyone and everyone that comes, nobody owns that. You know, there's not
That's
like a
true.
Particular, we're locals, and it's kind of like surfing and you go to the local surf spot. It's like you don't own the ocean. Anyone can go climb wherever. We should welcome outside people and say, hey, welcome to our climbing. Come climb it.
We had a gentleman here from Siskiyou County a few weeks ago, and he would not share the hidden gems location because
population free.
Those are for the Siskiyou County residents only.
Yes.
And so,
at least Marcus is kind of like,
I like his attitude.
Yeah.
I really do.
Definitely.
And so, now, Marcus, I want to be able to talk with you about some of the places that you've gone around the world, but let's take a break right now because I think that's going to take a little bit longer than a minute and a half. I'm excited to hear about some of your adventures, and so we will do that. But before we do that, Jennifer, can you just thank one of our other sponsors?
I would love to thank Caliber Office Furniture. So are you looking for some home office furniture? Caliber Office Furniture makes it easy for you. Go to CaliberOffice.com. select Work from Home, and there you'll find a beautiful selection of home office furniture with free shipping to your home. Again, that's CaliberOffice.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris Cable. Thank you, Caliber Office Furniture. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Marcus DeVoisin. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Hey friends, please join us at Reading Civic Auditorium for the first annual Justice Crab Feed, October 21st, to raise money in the fight against human trafficking in Reading and abroad.
All proceeds go directly to Hard Places Community and Justice 180, both nonprofit organizations. Tickets are available at $75 each, or you can get a table sponsorship as well. For more information, go to justicecrabfeed@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at justicecrabfeed.
In the porch swing, listen to the light bang, beating on the timber, baby, just to me and you, rocking with the rhythm of the rain.
How appropriate. Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely. Liam, it's raining. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about the weather?
You need to give me a second to get out of the music.
I'm so sorry. We're excited. Okay.
It's raining right now. We have scattered showers and thunderstorms tonight. It will be raining tomorrow. Tonight we have a low of 60. Tomorrow, a high of 76. Tomorrow night, a low of 60. And then we're going to start heating up again. We'll finish the end of this weekend at around 80 degrees. Labor Day is going to be 85, and we're going to be back in the 90s by next Friday.
Whoa.
Nice. I like this time of year as we're coming into October, beginning of November. It is actually my favorite time of year around here. But the rain today was just crazy. I had no idea. It says 60% chance of rain. So I'm thinking, well, we'll have kind of a 60% precipitation. You know, when it does start raining, it's not going to be
sprinkles a little bit, a little drizzly.
Yeah, it was 100% rain.
Downpour.
Today.
It was the wettest of days. And I was not dressed right. Like I already said, I certainly didn't dress right for the weather.
I saw you weren't alone. I saw a number of people. I went to the convenience store today, and there were people. They were in shorts,
we have trust issues when we hear it's going to rain here.
It's like Labor Day weekend. It's supposed to be warm. Hey, we are talking with Marcus DeVoisin, but if someone wants to call and if they've got a question, how can they do that?
If you would love to call and ask a question to our friend Marcus, the phone number is 53. 780-605-4567. And I mean, he's so cool. I actually have a question for Marcus. And my question is, so you're talking a lot about the things that you do. And I know that we're about to ask about you traveling all around. But I'm just curious, do you ever do any of your climbing and hiking and all that with your family?
Yeah, so a couple years ago, we took a family trip to Yosemite, which was a cool experience. We rented a place about 30 minutes in El Portal, just outside of the entrance of Yosemite, and set up some top ropes and did a lot of hikes. And previous to that, about 5 or 6 years ago, one of the best climbs that I've done to date is with my mom. So we did about a 600-foot climb that was rated 5.6, so we can talk about the difficulty rating.
Yeah.
But it was an easier rating, and she was really proud of herself. She passed other parties on the wall.
Wow.
It was a multi-pitch.
Go mom.
I go mom. And she every party that she passed, she's like, I'm 60. Guess what?
That is awesome. I know my mom is listening. So mom, of course she's 78, but,
She's going to pass everybody.
Maybe
and
I
say,
shouldn't
I'm,
have said that.
I'm in my 70s. That's what she'll say is she's passing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she does go out on hikes with us. And so she's pretty vibrant and active, but you mentioned difficulty level. So let me ask you about that.
Yeah.
So different places, they have different ratings. How is that determined?
Yeah, so in the United States, we have something called the Yosemite Decimal System. So it's on a 5-point scale. So you could think of it like 5.2, 5.3, 5.4. And as the number gets higher, the harder the climb is. Right now, the hardest climb in the world is a 515.
Wow.
And once you get into...
Where is that? I need to know where that is.
That's in Norway.
Okay. Yeah.
It's called Silence something, I believe. But there, I believe there's a couple routes in the world that are 515D right now. So, that's just, maybe soon we'll have a 516. So once you hit the 510 mark, then you go into A, B, C, D, but it cuts off at D.
Right.
So 510D, the next level would be 511A.
Okay, gotcha.
It sounds like you'd have to be like Spider-Man or something to get up those.
What's the most difficult level you've done?
512B.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. So now, I read your little bio that was on Shasta Rock Club, and you've been involved with Shasta Rock Club over the years,
shout
right?
Shout out to Shasta Rock Club.
Yeah. And I definitely want to make mention of them. But in your bio on their page there, it talks about the fact that you've been in different places in the world. So where are some of those places?
Yeah. So right before I do, so I should mention, Shasta Rock Club, their youth team is starting soon. So if you have a kid, of any age, I know they have different age brackets there. I coach there, not currently, but I coached there for 3 years. This is a climbing gym in Reading. It's off of Athens Avenue, right by the old movies 8, if that rings a bell for anybody. If you have a kid that's interested in climbing, go down there and they could, now's the time to join the climbing league. But in terms of where I've climbed in the world, so I've climbed in Iceland, in Italy, in a place called the Dolomites. In Mexico, there's a place called El Potro Chico. In Canada, all over the United States, Joshua Tree, Yosemite, in Utah. Lots of different places.
There's a lot. Washington, I wasn't expecting so many.
So out of all of these different places that you've gone.
Which is your favorite? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes.
I've been thinking that the whole time he was talking. I was like, of all these great places, which is your favorite? And then Tim said it.
I would say probably Northern Italy and the Dolomites.
Northern Italy.
Just to be in Italy climbing alone.
Right.
Really awesome. The Bugaboos in Canada. So the reason that I like the Bugaboos is probably the most I've ever pushed myself. So it's essentially like a Yosemite Valley, but in this very alpine environment. So you have to put on crampons and sometimes hike over glaciers for 4 or 5 hours just to get to the start of a 2,000-foot granite wall that you climb.
Mm. Wow, that
sounds exhilarating.
It's very remote, too. So, yeah, and you'll... just off in the distance, you'll hear the glaciers breaking and this loud crash, and it feels very, intense.
Were you alone?
No, I was with a group of
friends. That's good.
I usually go on climbing trips.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask if you were climbing alone or if you recommend people climb in like groups of people.
You typically will at least climb in a pair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they're, so the way it works, I guess we could talk about this. So let's say that we're going to go climb a 100-foot wall, me and you.
Mm-hmm.
So one person that would be the leader would go up first, and then you would be the belayer. So they have the rope. You're both on one either end of the rope,
okay.
And you're belaying the leader to go up, and periodically they'll place protection. And then once they get to the top, you could either do what's called top roping, and you can both climb that section, or you can keep going into what's called multi-pitch. So I would go up, and then you would come up, and we would meet on, let's say, a ledge,
mm-hmm.
and then we would continue climbing up piece by piece.
Okay.
Those are called pitches.
Okay.
I'll let you go first.
Yeah.
And so let's get back a little bit to the indoor rock climbing places. And Shasta Rock Club, I wanted to look it up real quick, that Shasta Rock Club, club.com, ShastaRockClub.com, mm-hmm. if people want more information about that. But how much do some of the indoor rock climbing places benefit people in preparing for outdoor rock climbing?
Ooh, good question.
Yeah, I guess I should mention I teach a class there once a month called Jim to Craig. So that class is designed for people who...
Did you say Jim to Craig?
Jim to Craig.
Oh, my gosh, that's adorable.
So let's say that you've been climbing indoors at the gym, or it doesn't have to be Shasta, or any gym, mm-hmm. and you're interested in bringing that sport outside. So it's an hour-long class, and I'll teach you the basics of what does it mean to belay or set up what's called an anchor for your rope, just to keep you safe while you're climbing.
Awesome. Physically, what... If a person is thinking, oh, I want to start doing this, how would they prepare themselves physically? What parts of the body especially need attention?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, anyone can just go into the gym right now, and especially if you're starting on a beginner route,
mm-hmm.
Anyone can go in and climb right now. But if you want to train for climbing, kind of like you're training for anything, you know, push-ups, pull-ups especially.
Right.
You'll use your arms a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the first things that will get tired. So as you better your climbing technique, you'll learn how to use your legs more.
Right.
And how do you save your energy for your arms? Because those are going to be what gives out first for your legs.
What about your hands? I see people just reaching up and grabbing with their hands. How much stress goes on your hands?
Yeah, there is this thing called a fingerboard where essentially you'll just hang from it, and there's different kind of ways that the ledges, how much space they have for your fingers. So how difficult is it for you to hang? And that's how you train your fingers, really.
Right.
But that's the less exciting. I would say start off and go have fun.
Right.
First.
Okay.
get the bug, get the climbing bug. Cause it is a sport that once you try it, especially when you climb outdoors, mm-hmm. something just clicks and you really get obsessed with it. And that's kind of like, you know, maybe something for, when I went mountain biking for the first time, I just got hooked on it. It's just one of those sports.
Right.
But just go have fun first, and then, you know, lead into months later, start training your fingers on a fingerboard.
Right. And then how much does balance play into all of this?
Yeah, definitely. So basic climbing technique is, you know, push up with your legs as much as possible and keep your center of gravity right below you. So as you're moving from hold to hold, you want to put most of your weight so it's on your feet. So you'll learn how to just kind of put your – it's a little, I guess, less balance and more about body positioning as you're on the wall. So you'll learn how to position your body in the right way that uses the least amount of energy for you to hold yourself there. That's what it's about. How can I get from the bottom to the top and use the least amount of energy? Because I want to be able to get to the top.
Right. That completely makes sense. And so, but, you know, because it seems like, you know, if you're trying to accomplish something that is really high, you're going up hundreds of feet, let's say, it seems like fatigue would play into your ability to have a successful climb.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, general cardio is going to help you out too. So get out and walk, go run, ride your bike. Just being in basic good shape will definitely help.
Yeah, it's going to make a difference. I don't see a lot of guys my height that are 350 pounds trying to climb up a rock.
Not to say that they couldn't, but
it's they just haven't tried,
Tim. The more weight you have, the more that you're going to have to carry on the wall. So,
what happens if you get up there and you do start to feel tired? Do you have like a...
can always go down. Oh. Yeah.
Right.
I was going to say, do you have like a special, like a snack? Like, what do you do if you start to get tired?
I do have these, you know, if you... you know the brand Clif?
Yeah.
The Clif bars. So they have these Clif blocks.
Because you're on the side of the Clif. I see.
I really like the Clif blocks. They have mostly just sugar and caffeine and keep you going.
Sure, to keep you going. Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, it's time for us to take a break, Jennifer.
Oh, already?
I mean, we are really getting into this. And the program, like always, just seems to move right along. But when we come back, I'm going to ask Marcus a couple things. One, if he's ever got into a situation that scared him or that's caused him great concern, and I bet he's got a story about that.
I mean, he seems pretty confident. He might just be, I was born a climber. I'm a natural climber.
I'm starting to sweat and get nervous as we're talking about it. But let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Ain't it good, ain't it right, that you are with me here tonight? Music playing, our bodies swaying in time. Touching you, so warm and tender. Lord, I feel such...
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors of crepe myrtles, dwarf size, semi-dwarf, and full size to choose from. And right now they're on sale along with all roses and stuff. Looking for particular trees or shrubs? See if we can special order it for you. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-wise, drought-tolerant shrubs and trees. Gold Leaf Nursery is open Tuesday through Saturday. Come in and take advantage of our crepe myrtle and rose sale. Gold Leaf Nursery is located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
Welcome back to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
And tonight we've been talking with Marcus DeVoysen, and he is an expert rock climber. He does some teaching on rock climbing, has done it all over the state, the nation,
and Italy,
and the world. Oh,
everywhere.
Oh my goodness.
Man.
But Marcus, have you ever got yourself into a situation that caused you great concern?
Yeah, so I was climbing in an indoor gym in San Francisco for a number of years, and I met this gal, Audrey, and we had this goal of, there's a climb called Moonlight Buttress in Zion National Park in Utah. So it's a big 1,200-foot climb. It's this big sandstone feature. If you've ever been there, there's these blank large sandstone orange walls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
So one of the most iconic climbs there is called Moonlight Buttress, and that was our big goal. So we wanted to go do it. It's a two-day climb. So we were on day two, and we were about halfway up the wall, and I'm looking down. It's pretty hot. I didn't eat enough that day. I should have forced myself to eat.
Right.
And when you know that feeling if you're doing something active and you didn't really eat enough that day,
mm-hmm.
you kind of bonk out. You
right.
just kind of
low energy.
I'm gonna faint.
Yeah.
So that's how I was feeling. I was looking way down at the buses and all the tourists down there, and I was like, kind of everything was a little circling, and I look at Audrey and I was like, I think I need to go down. And it's this cool thing when you climb with your partner that they know when the right amount to push you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, we're not going to go down. You can do this, and we're
right.
going to get to the top. So just get something out of your bag. You need to eat. So that's
right.
what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And Audrey went to Cornell, and she's a rower, and it showed because she's this intense, like,
mm-hmm.
we're going to get it. And we're getting to the top. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And we did, and we topped out at about midnight that night. And I remember hiking down and really delirious, but super glad that
right.
we made it to the top.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so thankful for her to push me.
Right.
You know.
And I guess you would have to be somebody that would know when it's the right time to push someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Marcus, there's a rumor going around that you doubled for Tom Cruise in one of his Mission Impossible movies. Is that true? Or
That is not true. But
yeah.
You
would be much yeah, too tall
I'm
for that.
I'm willing to do any
yeah,
stunts.
You're very tall.
Oh. Hey, what are some of the biggest mistakes, like, beginning rock climbers make?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think with the popularity, so with Free Solo and the Dawn Wall and climbing being the Olympics and all these indoor climbing gyms across the country opening mm-hmm. up, there's this surge of popularity of climbing in general.
Right.
So it kind of reminds me of like snowboarding when that started to become really popular.
Mm-hmm.
So just like you have to be certified in scuba diving, I think the same thing is going to happen to climbing. There's this basic in terms of knowing how to belay someone, knowing how to place protection, knowing how to set up an anchor, that it's a do or die situation. If you do some of those things incorrectly, if you tie in wrong, then you could die. So
right.
the same thing with scuba diving. So I think there's going to be a point, I think with the surge of popularity, there's going to be regulation and there's going to be some sort of certification or training that you have to go through to climb. So I think it's a balance of that and just accessibility and making sure that it's still accessible for anyone to climb outside. But how do you strike that balance of making it accessible and making it safe and regulating that?
Right.
Ooh, good
right.
point.
Yeah. And my goodness, I would think, but I know how people are. I would think that people would want to be well instructed and trained on how to do some of these things.
Yeah, definitely.
You brought in some equipment here this evening, and these are like some of these are anchors that you would put into the crevices of rocks, and we've got different sizes and different types. And I look at them and think, man, really, we're going to put that into a crevice of a rock,
and
that's going to hold my body if I fall. And but it works really
well.
It can hold thousands of pounds, and you're never trusting just one of the. So we're looking at what's called a Camelot on the table. So if you want to mm-hmm. see what that looks like, you can just Google climbing Camelot, and you can see what we're seeing. But I would put in many of those along my
right.
climbing route, and not just trust myself on one hundreds of feet up.
Right.
You keep mentioning Free Solo. Is that that movie?
Yeah, so
that's
the movie that came out
with
Alex Honnold. You know, he talks about in podcasts more than 99% of the time he's climbing with a rope, and he's not doing what's called free soloing. It's not climbing with a rope. So just imagine walking up to a wall in Yosemite and just starting, and you're not roped in, you're not placing protection. It's a very freeing experience. But most of the time he's not. He's just famous for that because
right,
you know,
the movie.
Yeah.
The
movie. And then he had some shorter documentary, more fringe movies mm-hmm. prior to that in the climbing community. But that's what put him on the map, and that's what made him a
right.
professional climber in a sense.
Do you do any climbing without the protection? Do
no,
you do that?
Not really. I mean, so let's see. There's a hike in Zion called Angel's Landing, and at the very top of that hike, there's a section of rock, and it has this chain feature. And you have a drop off on the cliff on either side, and it's just a couple of feet of a walking way. And is that free soloing? Like, where do you draw the line of free soloing? So there is climbing that I'm very comfortable with. That I wouldn't call very difficult, that I do climb without a rope. But it's all relative to what are you mentally and physically prepared for.
Right. Now, some of these places do, they already have anchors in place. And so who puts those in? How does that happen? And how secure are they?
Yeah, that's a good point. So there's the ASCA, so it's an American Safe Climbing Association, and they're responsible for going in, and there's these things on the rock called bolts. So someone goes and drills bolts into the rock. So if you went to Lassen or you went to Castle Craigs, there's certain areas of those places where you would see these shiny metal bolts drilled in, and you might have seen them and not known what they are. I'm like, oh, no, well, now you know those are for climbing.
Okay.
And the ASCA goes around and they replace old bolts. So if there's bolts that are more near the ocean, then the salt can corrode that bolt.
Right.
Or just, you know, before the technology of bolts, they used to take old metal from bed frames and then they drill in, you know, in the 80s,
right,
that into the wall. So, you know, the technology has come
a long ways then. And so there is an association then that regularly goes out and checks those and makes sure that they're in good working order.
Not to say that every single bolt out there is safe. So one of the things that you can do, and I really believe in mentorship. So when I first started climbing outside, I went to Yosemite and I did a big climb with two Germans. And they were traveling around, and after the climb, we kind of bonded and we had an experience, and they were continuing on their travel. And they said, you know what, I was just starting out and I couldn't afford all the gear. It was about $1,500 worth of gear. And they said, we're going to travel for the year, but we're coming back to California and we're going to let you borrow this gear so that you can accelerate your climbing journey and, you know, use this gear because you can't afford it. And I was in my early 20s.
Right.
So anyway, that's just to say, to pay it forward.
Right.
So
right.
Get into climbing, find a mentor to teach you about what does a safe bolt look like and things to look out for, and how to build an anchor, and just have someone bring you under their wing. It's really the best and safest way to start. And then 10, 15 years down the road, pay it back.
Yeah, that's awesome. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Now, Marcus, when we first talked, which was a few months ago, and one of the things that you told me is that there were certain areas that you could go climb, but now they're closed off. Why is that?
Remind me of the...
Yeah, we were just talking about you taking people out and that there were certain places that you could climb, if I remember right.
Oh,
if
right,
I remember
right,
correctly.
Right. Yeah.
That you...
There is a local spot about 20 minutes from Reading. I'm not going to say what the spot is on air because it's actually private land.
Oh.
So...
Okay. Yeah, you don't have to tell us the owner or anything.
No.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, it's just... It's a great resource, and I hope in the future it opens back up. But people climb there for, you know, 30 years, and it's always just been there. And
right.
I think we really kind of took that for granted that it always would be there. And now it's the landowner doesn't want people climbing there.
Sure, yeah. Sure. And sometimes there can be viable reasons for the landowner doing that.
Yeah, they don't want to be liable. But what, like, I wonder what that conversation might look like in terms of, I know that there's mountain biking trails in Reading that go through people's private land, and if the city's willing to work on releasing the liability of that person, and for the climbing community to advocate for, hey, this is a great resource for the city, and maybe we could do cleanup days there, or maybe the landowner has more comfortable, just climb there on the weekends or something like that.
All right. Hey, Marcus, listen, we've got to cut you short here. I know there's much more that we could talk about, but thank you for coming on the air tonight, talking with us about rock climbing. It's a topic I've been wanting to do for a while. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
People want to know more about you, they can go to, ShastaRockClub.com. Maybe that'd be a place to
get. And I'm there all the time.
All right. Get connected with you there. Hey, so Jennifer, do you have any outdoor plans for the weekend?
Just kind of what we touched on. I think I might try that Intermountain Fair.
We might see you up there.
Ah.
You know, I'm thinking about heading up there. Hey, next week we have Ed Wade from Redding Black Sheep 4x4.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, some four-wheel driving, some boonie bouncing. Absolutely. Up in the mountains. And so, and Jennifer, we want to say thank you to our sponsors.
Yes, thank you, Professional Exterminators and Caliber Office Furniture.
And thank you, listener, for tuning in to Shasta Outdoors. I'm Tim Scarborough.
And I'm Jennifer Ely.
We challenge you to get out there and enjoy God's wonderful creation.
We promise it will do your soul well.
On a rough road, riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon, rising fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I'll be born free.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.